From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor, Jared Kushner, is at the center of an expose by the New York Times. The paper this past Saturday published a lengthy investigation into how Kushner had, quote, been having private, informal conversations with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The two men were on a first-name basis, and their conversations continued even after the brutal killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, which the Crown Prince is known to have orchestrated. The Times reporters wrote, "The ties between Mr. Kushner and Prince Mohammed did not happen on their own. The prince and his advisors, eager to enlist American support for his hawkish policies in the region and for his own consolidation of power, cultivated the relationship with Mr. Kushner for more than 2 years, according to documents, emails, and text messages. Kushner has been the Crown Prince's most stalwart supporter inside the White House. Meanwhile, on Tuesday, Time magazine announced its Person of the Year as The Guardians, a group that includes Mr. Khashoggi. My guest is Juan Cole. He is the Richard P. Mitchell Collegiate Professor of History at the University of Michigan. He's written several books, including The New Arabs, How the Wired and Global Youth of the Middle East is Transforming It, and Engaging the Muslim World. He has a column at truthdig.com, and his blog, Informed Comment, can be found at juancole.com. His latest book is entitled Muhammad, Peace, a Prophet of Peace Amid the Clash of Empires. And we'd actually interviewed him about that book on our program previously. Welcome back, Juan.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
So this particular article by the New York Times was quite shocking. It was a very lengthy investigation. It seems as though the reporters got a lot of inside information, inside sources, documents, and these two individuals, Mr. Kushner and the Crown Prince, were buddy-buddy, but not just because they liked each other. To me, it comes across pretty clearly as though the Crown Prince has played Trump through Kushner. Is that the upshot?
Well, certainly the Crown Prince got close to Kushner in order to play Trump. I think Kushner is also using the Crown Prince for his purposes. It has to be said that the ability of the New York Times to get this information is extremely concerning, because Kushner is essentially a special envoy of the president on Middle East affairs. And the sources cited by the New York Times reporters are, as I remember, six intelligence sources in the U.S. government and one Saudi source. The U.S. government officials who were able to talk about the WhatsApp messages that the two are sending back and forth are almost certainly able to do that, because the National Security Agency has tapped in to the WhatsApp program that they are using and is spying on their messages. WhatsApp is not secure. They should be using Signal or something that is secure. So the fact that Kushner is, you know, essentially spreading his intel signal all around the Wi-Fi networks and can be spied on so easily is extremely concerning.
So it also implies that there are people inside the White House and inside the intelligence community, rather, that are very concerned about the way in which Mr. Kushner is being supposedly used.
Concern throughout the U.S. government. I think this is a matter, if you were able to talk privately to higher-ups in the Department of State, the non-political persons, and the Department of Defense, the CIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, all of them are extremely concerned about Kushner essentially having been recruited by the Saudis for their purposes. The Saudis have become, under the direction of King Salman and his son, Mohammed bin Salman, an element of extreme instability in the Middle East and a challenge to U.S. foreign policy. Mohammed bin Salman kidnapped 200 of his cousins, other princes, and hit them up for, it is said, as much as $100 billion. This is one of the biggest bank robberies in history. And he kidnapped the prime minister of Lebanon, tried to force him to resign and failed. He put Qatar under blockade. And in 2015, he initiated a ruinous air war against Little Yemen, which is thought to have killed 87,000 children through starvation. So, you know, Mohammed bin Salman is rampaging around the region and was in part, you know, one of the forces that lobbied for also breaking the treaty that had been signed between the United States and Iran on curbing Iran's nuclear enrichment program. So there's a special bond between the two men, and that Kushner is said to be running interference for Mohammed bin Salman and to be the strongest voice in defending him and trying to keep him viable, giving him advice on how to, quote-unquote, weather the storm over his murder of a dissident Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. This is all, extremely concerning to everyone in the U.S. government.
Juan, the relationship, it sounds like, began all the way back in November of 2016. So as soon as it was clear that Trump was to be president, Mohammed bin Salman, or MBS, sent envoys to the United States, and the article in the New York Times suggests or said that Khaled Al-Fali, who is one of the top aides to the prince, met with Mr. Kushner in New York in November 2016, and that essentially he was singled out as being particularly available or vulnerable to manipulation. So this was a very clear attempt to, and this was before Mohammed bin Salman was named crown prince, right? And the paper also outlined how Kushner got MBS in the White House, receiving the kind of treatment reserved for heads of state. So in a way, Kushner helped elevate MBS into the status that he needed to become crown prince.
Yes, it seems clear that Kushner played a role in lobbying King Salman to make Mohammed bin Salman his heir apparent and to sideline bin Salman's cousin, who had been originally chosen for that position. The links in after Trump was elected between Kushner and bin Salman are also disturbing, because that's not a period in which potential members of the new administration ought to be doing foreign policy or meeting with heads of state or their envoys. Obama was still president. And we know also that Mohammed bin Zayed, the de facto leader of the United Arab Emirates, and the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, flew in to the United States covertly to meet with Trump administration persons. Bin Zayed also has been a big booster of Mohammed bin Salman, and the two of them have a strong alliance. So it seems to me one thing that's missing in the narrative is the UAE element, and I think Youssef Otaiba, who is an extremely powerful ambassador in Washington, D.C., of the UAE, almost certainly is also involved.
Now, Kushner, before all of this, was not particularly knowledgeable about Middle East affairs, was he? I know he's personally interested in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but that doesn't necessarily make him any sort of expert, does it?
Oh, no. He's completely ignorant of actual Middle East policy, and he also has very strong commitments to the Israeli colonization project in the Palestinian West Bank. And it seems to me that part of what's going on here is that Kushner is using his ties to Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia to ensure that that colonization project is not interfered with. And
so that's Kushner's motivation in all of this, you think?
Yes. I mean, when they talk about a deal of the century or a deal between the Israelis and the Palestinians, what they really seem to mean in the Trump administration, and this is Kushner and others, is that they want to find a framework for legitimizing the Israeli apartheid in the West Bank. and to put a veneer of international legitimacy on it, and to ensure that it can continue into the very long term.
Juan, I want to play for you a clip of an interview that Sean Hannity did with Jared Kushner on Fox News on Monday. Now, Kushner does not make very many media appearances, so this is quite interesting. It was about an 8 to 10 minute interview, at the very end of which Hannity asked him a softball question about Saudi Arabia and Jamal Khashoggi, but also in general sort of Middle East affairs. This is what this is the exchange between Hannity and Kushner.
Another area I know that you've been interested in is the Middle East. You've been on a number of trips. You've been to Jordan, Egypt, Israel, Saudi Arabia. You have talked to all these people. It seems like there's a moment where there is a new alliance or coalition emerging against Iranian hegemony and a potentially nuclear armed Iran. Has that process been hurt as a result of the Khashoggi killing? What is the status? I know 17 individuals are being held responsible. And do you feel that we will get to the bottom of it if we haven't already?
I think our intelligence agencies are making their assessments, and we're hoping to make sure that there's justice brought where that should be. We're focused now on the broader region, which is figuring out how to hopefully bring a deal together between the Israelis and the Palestinians. That conflict has gone on for way too long. The president's been very focused on trying to bring all the different parties together. And we're hopeful in the next couple of months we'll put out our plan, which, again, not every side is going to love, but there's enough in it and enough reasons why people should take it and move forward. And this plan will keep the Israeli people safe, give them a good future, but also give a real opportunity and hope for the Palestinian people so that they can live much better lives. I've been saying a lot that you shouldn't be hijacking your children's future because of your grandparents' conflict. And this is a conflict that's been going on for way too long. And the way that people are living in Gaza and in the West Bank right now is not acceptable. And there's a lot we can be doing to improve their quality of life. But it comes with resolving some of these core issues. And it's not just the Israelis that want it. It's not just the Palestinian people who want it. It's all the people I speak to throughout the entire Middle East who'd like to see this issue resolved so that they can start focusing on a brighter future.
All right, Jared Kushner, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
That is Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law, a top advisor, speaking with Fox News' Sean Hannity. Many things to discuss there, Juan, Cole. Let's first talk about the fact that Sean Hannity really didn't ask him a real question about Jamal Khashoggi, did not at all mention the New York Times article. And Kushner's response was simply to say our intelligence community is going to look at it. But the intelligence community has looked at it, right? The CIA had a very strong conclusion.
Oh, the CIA isn't in any doubt that Mohammed bin Salman had Jamal Khashoggi whacked. And nor, I think, is anybody who's seen the leaks from Turkey, Turkish intelligence and the CIA. This is simply not in question. And if you just know how Saudi Arabia works, it's not possible. That a rogue unit would undertake a major operation like this without the knowledge of the royal family. So Kushner and Hannity are just involved in a cover-up of a major murder, a political murder of a sort that is very rare to become public with these kinds of details. It's a horrific act. The man was a prominent journalist in Saudi Arabia, close to the royal family and under previous kings, and went into exile because he saw Mohammed bin Salman was gathering power into his hands. You know, Saudi Arabia was not an absolute monarchy in the sense of power being concentrated just in one or two persons. It was an oligarchy. There are seven major clans within the royal family that kind of alternated power, and uncles had power. And what King Salman and Mohammed bin Salman have done is to grab power for themselves uniquely. And then so Khashoggi left and went into self-imposed exile, was given a column in the Washington Post. He was read often by members of Congress and other, because the Washington Post is widely read in the U.S. government. And to have this man whose children are American citizens, who is himself a U.S. resident, a murdered Pulp Fiction style with apparently bone saws and and vats of acid involved is just remarkable. And that Trump and Kushner and others in the administration should try to find some way to have him weather the storm and remain in power despite having ordered this horrific and gruesome murder. It just leaves one speechless.
And of course, Trump has been the Crown Prince's most stalwart supporter and constantly calling into question his own intelligence community's findings and, you know, sort of trying to cast doubt where there isn't any, saying, well, who knows what really happened? And I spoke with him and he assures me. And of course, the Saudi's own story changed so many times that it was embarrassing that the president is embarrassing for the president that he was supporting him. And one expects now that the New York Times has revealed exactly what the relationship between Kushner and bin Salman is, that it might have been or might be Kushner pushing Trump to defend the Crown Prince at all costs. What do you make of this issue of the Saudis being a strong U.S. ally in order to keep Iran in check? Is this really a necessary deal for, you know, because arms sales are too money-oriented or just, you know, too obvious a sort of financial motivation for Trump. So it sounds like Kushner is trying to say, well, we need Saudi Arabia to keep Iran in check. Is that really true?
Oh, no. Iran is being demonized and made a bugbear by this administration. It gave up any realistic hope of a nuclear weapons program, and it never had a weapons program per se. But in the 2015 deal, which it continues to adhere to, it crippled its enrichment program, and it has the military budget of Singapore. And in contrast, the Saudis have bought it. Enormous amounts, billions and hundreds of billions of dollars worth of sophisticated U.S. military weaponry. You know, Iran is being deployed by the Saudis and by Israel to take the light off of what's really going on, which is, on the one hand, a Saudi consolidation of hegemony over Arab politics, including in places like Egypt, and on the other hand, throwing the Palestinians under the bus. These things that Kushner said about the Palestinians, you know, being given a decent life and forgetting about the conflicts of their grandparents, this is all Netanyahu's propaganda. It's the Likud party, the far right wing nationalist party that rules Israel, has long said, well, the Palestinians, you know, we could maybe arrange for them to have an economically decent life, but they can't be citizens of a state. They're to be kept stateless. And that just doesn't work, because if you're stateless, you don't really have any rights. You don't have a right to property, because what court would a Palestinian in the West Bank sue in over Israeli usurpation of their property? Well, it would be an Israeli court, and the Israeli court, for the most part, would approve of the Israeli action. So the Palestinians are having their land, their water, their resources gradually stolen from them by several hundred thousand Israeli squatters who've just come in and usurped Palestinian land in the occupied territories. And what Netanyahu will say if you press him is said, well, maybe, you know, we could give them a better standard of living. They'll have a high per capita GDP, you know, as though people can live without dignity, as though being stateless is a long-term legitimate prospect. In fact, you know, it was people concentrate on the 40s and what the horrible crimes that the Nazis committed against Jews when they killed 6 million of them. But it should be remembered that they began by removing citizenship from the Jews and from others, and that Franco took citizenship away from the left, that taking citizenship away from someone, making them stateless, leaves them open to atrocities, and there are slow motion atrocities happening against the Palestinians. So, Kushner, you know, in that interview, kind of revealed his hand, as you might say in poker.
So, and of course, there's the Yemen war that the Saudis are deeply engaged in, and that the U.S. is not just enabling, but actively participating through military advisors on the ground, intelligence, and of course the arms sales and the deaths that you cited earlier of Yemeni children have not certainly moved Trump in any direction. However, senators in the U.S. have been moved by the Khashoggi killing enough to now threaten the U.S. role in the Yemen war. There was a procedural Senate resolution that passed to consider withdrawing U.S. support from the Saudis in the Yemen war. Republican Senators Lindsey Graham and Bob Corker made very strong statements after they were briefed by CIA Director Gina Haspel. What has become of that as far as you know? Has all of that been, has the U.S. role in the Yemen war been lost after the funeral of George H.W. Bush and now this fight over the government spending bill?
Well, I expect the issue of the U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen, which is a very, as you say, serious and deep involvement, to come back up in the new session. I think that the Democrats in the House will certainly broach it, and they may be able to find enough Republican senators in the Senate so as to pass a resolution or to begin, you know, Congress could cut off funds for the Pentagon. They could just designate that U.S. government funds not be used for the Yemen war. So I think that the issue is going to dominate politics in the new year. And it is the case that the U.S. Has been refueling the Saudi fighter jets because they didn't until recently have that capability that are then bombing civilian targets. The U.S. Has been choosing targets. It's not always listened to by the Saudis. And the U.S. Has been providing logistical help. And it turns out that the Pentagon hasn't even been charging the Saudis for these things, that our taxpayers are paying.
We're giving it for free?
We're giving it away for free to a country that has $1.5 trillion in various kinds of reserves and investment funds. So not only are we doing something horribly immoral because the Saudis are deliberately, clearly targeting civilian infrastructure and putting civilians at risk. And we think, you know, the UN is concerned that 10 million people could die of starvation if things go on as they are. But in addition to our being involved in one of the worst atrocities since World War II, we are doing all this pro bono.
Wow. So finally, with the exposing of Kushner's relationship with the Crown Prince, do you feel that anything will change? I mean, sometimes the idealists among us journalists feel that casting a light on an issue is enough to foment change, but the Trump administration has changed all the rules of everything, but couldn't Congress call this issue up and question Mr. Kushner? Congress could certainly, should certainly be very disturbed by what the Times article has revealed and take Mr. Kushner to task.
Well, I think it's entirely possible that in the new year, Kushner will be called to testify to the House. And I think there's going to be a lot of testifying going on. And it seems likely that the Senate, which has a Republican majority, will nevertheless vote a resolution against the Yemen war and vote a resolution as well to condemn Mohammed bin Salman for the murder of Khashoggi. I think these policies, which Kushner is desperately trying to shore up, are in trouble with the legislature. It hasn't been typically the case that the legislature has intervened heavily in foreign affairs. I've done a lot of consulting and testifying on the Hill. And, you know, it's very hard to get the Congress people to come. Their staffers will come just for informational purposes. But I remember in the Iraq war, they just didn't want anything to do with Iraq. They felt like it was Bush's thing, and whether it failed or succeeded, it would be on Bush, and they just didn't want to touch it. And so I don't know whether they will have a big impact on the actual conduct of foreign policy. I think it's these things that are coming out about Kushner are very concerning. And there's also in Haaretz, the Israeli liberal newspaper, an accusation that Kushner may be trying to use his ties with Mohammed bin Salman to shore up Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, who Israeli police have recommended that he be indicted for criminal activity, for fraud and extortion of Israeli newspapers. And there's some thinking that if Kushner and MBS can put together some kind of a deal for, say, the Gulf Cooperation Council states to recognize Israel and agree to some deal about the Palestinians, that it might give Netanyahu the political lift that would allow him to survive the corruption charges.
Well, Juan, I want to thank you so much for joining us, as always. We'll link to your blog from our website. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Sonali.
Juan Cole is the Richard P. Mitchell Collegiate Professor of History at the University of Michigan. He's written several books, including The New Arabs, How the Wired and Global Youth of the Middle East is Transforming It. His latest book is called Muhammad, Prophet of Peace Amid the Clash of Empires. He's also a columnist at truthdig.com. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.